This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.
Tomorrow, the Supreme Court of the United States will hear oral arguments on Gill versus Whitford, also known as the Wisconsin gerrymandering case.
There is a lot of uncertainty as to how the court will rule, with most of the conservative and liberal justices coming down on opposite sides of the issue. As is often the case, Justice Kennedy will likely be the deciding vote.
Writer David Daley is the author of Rat Effed, which takes an in-depth look at the GOP Red Map project and the 2010 nationwide redistricting, which left a majority of state legislatures in Republican hands despite earning fewer votes than Democrats. Daley spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about Gill v. Whitford and what it could mean for the future of democracy.
Well, Gill versus Whitford really is the most important Supreme Court case having to do with our democracy since the Citizens United case nearly a decade ago. This is an opportunity for the Supreme Court of the United States to put an end to one of the most toxic things in our democracy, partisan gerrymandering. It all starts from a case there in Wisconsin having to do with the lines that the Republican state legislature drew following the 2010 census there in Wisconsin. Those lines, which were drawn behind closed doors in 2011, were drawn, the courts have said time and again, to really maximize partisan impact for the Republican Party. In 2012, the first election that were run on those lines, Democrats got more votes for the Wisconsin State Assembly. Republicans, however, took 60 of the 99 seats. So if all the votes go one way and all the seats go the other, you can certainly have a sense that those were very, very powerful district lines.
They weren't shy about what they were doing with the redistricting. They were very clear that it was partisan gerrymandering. But really, currently, that's not illegal in any way.
That is why this case is so important. The Supreme Court has always said that it's up to lawmakers to draw political lines, that this is an inherently a political activity. So never in the history of the country has the court stepped in at this level and said partisan gerrymandering itself is unconstitutional. And really what has changed is that the ability to draw these lines in an unbeatable fashion has really, really become much more commonplace due to big data, due to powerful computers, due to a software that allow you really to surgically craft these lines. So the map makers now have got more information on us. We're more partisan and polarized, so we are easily drawn into districts because our voting patterns are so predictable. And it's the data, the technology, and the ease and the certainty with which it can be manipulated now that makes the post-2010 redistricting cycle so fundamentally different from any other in our time. And it's why the courts need to step in now and try to find a solution to this.
Now, the Supreme Court actually heard arguments on partisan gerrymandering about 13 years ago in a case called, I'm going to butcher this, but Faith v. Jubilerae?
Yes, indeed. That is tough. It's a tough name for somebody who occasionally stutters. Jubilerer, right?
Yeah. So what was that case?
That is a fascinating case. That is the last time that the Supreme Court took up partisan gerrymandering. It's a case out of Pennsylvania in which voters in Pennsylvania sued, saying that their constitutional right to equal protection under the law had been abused by the lines that were drawn for Pennsylvania's congressional districts after the 2000 census. And what you had was a very divided court. You had four conservative justices who were ready to say that partisan gerrymandering is simply part of the political thicket and it should be considered non-justiciable. They were ready to close the door on future claims. You had four liberal justices who said, this is a serious problem and we have to do something about it. And they were ready to step in and try to find a remedy. And then you had Justice Kennedy in the middle, as he is now. And Kennedy writes a really interesting concurrence. He ends up siding with the conservatives because he does not see a clear and manageable standard by which to define partisan gerrymandering in that case. He didn't see a way to resolve it that was clear, reliable, and able to be applied across states and across different situations. And he writes a concurrence with the conservatives, but it's his own concurrence. And what he says is, I'm not willing to close the door on this. This is an important issue, and technology is getting very serious here. And just because I don't see a standard in this case doesn't mean someone won't show me a standard down the line. And that really sets off all kinds of law professors and stats geeks and gerrymandering nerds looking for that kind of holy grail democracy theorem that might please Justice Kennedy. And what this really leads to is a standard called the efficiency gap, which has been at the heart of Gill versus Whitford, and it is one of the ways in which you can show when a partisan gerrymander has crossed a line and gone too far.
So the efficiency gap is really how Gill v. Whitford is responding to the previous partisan gerrymandering case. And while the actors in the Supreme Court are obviously a bit different, we're still in a similar situation where we have four or five, by some estimates, conservative judges. We have four or, again, five more liberal justices. Do we know how that's going to impact this case?
A couple of the faces have changed, but the basic lineup is still the same. You've got four conservatives who seem ready again to call this non-justiciable. You have the four liberals. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in an interview the other night in New York with Charlie Rose, talked again about how important this case is and finding a standard is and ending partisan gerrymandering is. So they clearly remain very interested, and it's all eyes on Justice Kennedy. Once again, he is the swing vote. He's a swing vote at a time in which there are lots of rumors swirling about that this could be his last year on the court. So this, in many ways, could be the last chance for a meaningful standard on this. So much depends on whether Kennedy sees something in the efficiency gap and in the other social science standards that are being brought to him in the briefs on this case. If it does, this has the potential on the verge of the 2020 census and the 2021 redistricting cycle to dramatically upend our politics. We are a deeply and closely divided country in which all of the political power essentially rests with the Republicans, not only all of Washington, but 69 of 99 state legislative chambers, 34 governorships, and it's the governors and the state legislatures that play the key role in drawing these lines. So as we head into the 2020 and 2021 cycle, Republicans are still going to have a dramatic edge when it comes to drawing these lines. The computers and the data have only gotten better. If Justice Kennedy does not see a standard here to help rein in this kind of extreme partisan behavior, maps like this and divisive politics like this will continue for another decade, and it will be 2031 until Democrats get another shot at these maps.
And this is despite the fact that in many of these states, Democrats are actually receiving more votes.
Yes, and that is what I think that the courts are really struck by. It seems to me that a situation like Wisconsin or North Carolina or Michigan, Ohio, you are seeing right now just how enduring and durable these lines are. So the lines that were drawn in 2011 to really maximize partisan advantage have been so effective that in a state like Michigan, Democrats have gotten more votes in 2012, 2014, and 2016 for their state house. Republicans have held the chamber in all of those years. Wisconsin, where this case started, you had Democrats get many, many more votes in 2012, but only 60 of 99 seats. And what's happened in Wisconsin since then is that these districts are so lopsided and uncompetitive that now you simply can't find a candidate in these races. In 49% of Wisconsin's assembly races in 2016, there was no major party competition. So, I mean, it's almost unfair to add up the total number of votes there. But in half of these races, voters don't have any choice at all. And that's how corrosive gerrymandering is to a democracy. It creates districts that are uncompetitive. It insulates our politicians from the ballot box. It makes them responsive only to the most extreme wings of their own party. Because when you don't have to worry about losing a general election, all you have to do is concern yourself with fending off a primary challenge from someone more extreme your own party, and it leads to the kind of dysfunctional and unresponsive and non-representative government that we're seeing at all levels in our politics today.
Now, a bipartisan group of politicians filed an amicus brief opposing partisan gerrymandering. Could that have an impact on the court's decision on the more conservative justices?
I think it is a terrific sign that this is becoming a bipartisan issue. It needs to be. This is really an issue that's about a democracy. This is not an issue that ought to be considered through our red glasses or our blue glasses, even though it seems like that's how we look at everything these days. But you have a growing number of folks in the general public. There was a poll taken on this earlier this month that showed upwards of 70% of all voters were so concerned about this that they said that they would like to see a standard on this, even if it harmed their own side, because it was that important for the integrity of our elections to have the side with the most votes actually winning. I think that what you saw in that amicus brief was that it was largely former Republican politicians who were signing on to this. It was Bob Dole, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, Richard Lugar, Jim Edgar, you know, lots of names from the 90s and the O's. I believe the biggest current Republican who was on that was Ohio Governor John Kasich, who has become very outspoken about this. I think that one of the effects of partisan gerrymandering has been that it's taken the Republican Party and it's pushed them further right in states and in Congress, and that it may well take establishment moderate conservatives like Kasich taking a look at sort of what the unintended consequences of this kind of aggressive, extreme redistricting have been to their own party to sort of help pull it back towards the middle again, which would be a terrific thing for, I think, all Americans.
So what can we expect to happen on October 3rd?
It's a great question. It will be all eyes on Justice Kennedy. I think people will be really curious to see how Kennedy approaches his questioning on the efficiency gap. This is not something that is universally believed to be, a silver bullet, a democracy cure. There are some critics who say that this is just an old-fashioned seat-to-vote ratio, and it's the kind of thing that Kennedy and other justices have thrown out in the past as not being clear enough, not being easily transferable across states. So I think the important thing will be to watch how Kennedy responds to the efficiency gap, and then the second thing will be to watch how Kennedy and the other justices, especially any of the conservative ones, if they're concerned about the way that redistricting has changed this decade. Again, it's been 12 or 13 years since this has come before them. Redistricting has gotten more durable. Since then, the number of swing seats in Congress and in state legislatures keeps declining. The numbers of states in which Republicans hold supermajorities, even though they get fewer votes, has grown dramatically, and it will be interesting to see if any of the justices on the right side of this are concerned about that, not from a political perspective, but from a sense of the health of a democracy.
When will we know their decision?
With all likelihood, not until June of next year.
So no decisions probably before the 2018 election.
This would probably come down in June of 2018, but it becomes a real question of kind of what kind of remedy the courts will order. Courts don't usually like forcing new maps to be drawn that close to an election. And indeed, the lower court, as part of their finding that these districts were unconstitutional in Wisconsin, they ordered new maps. When the Supreme Court agreed to hear this case back in the spring, they stayed and put a temporary halt to the drawing of those new maps. So that process in Wisconsin has stopped. If the courts renew that, it would be June or July of next year, and then you're certainly talking 3 or 4 months out to an election. I think they'd be extraordinarily reluctant to order something that dramatic that fast.
David Daley is the former editor-in-chief for Salon and the author of Rat Eft, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about Gail v. Whitford, the Wisconsin gerrymandering case headed to the Supreme Court of the United States.
To learn more about the case, you can check out our coverage of the issue, and you can also read Eric Gunn's piece on gerrymandering in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.